mean, really? Is that this what we got? I mean,
that's all we got. It's all we got.
Okay, so I guess we've got a lightning round this thing. I guess I can't.
I think that's the way to go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, November 25th, 2017. I'm Sam Inter. Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, hello. Yellow, yellow.
And there he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
I
just want to start out, because we always start with the agenda. And I just want to say, last week, we started the show by talking about just how full things were and how much things were going on and how there was never any lack of things to talk about. And this week we're like, I don't know.
Well, it's not like we don't have a lot of things to talk about. It's just that we weren't like really like, can excited. We like fill? Yeah. Well, like, could we fill? Maybe it's just because we've been just on such an overdrive of so much stuff. Well, there's one thing we missed.
Okay.
Damn. On that list.
Yes.
The whole Flynn story.
Didn't we talk about that last week? We talked about
The new thing. No. The thing that came out last night.
Oh, that Flynn's. See, the thing is, yeah. Okay. So fine. We'll add that to our list. In any case.
Oh, what? That's...
Well, in any case. Right? We're going to lightning round it today. We've got a whole bunch.
Oh yeah, we are. We are. But I forgot that piece. But still, even when you add that, you're right, because it's just an additional detail over the fact that we knew that Flynn was screwed.
And we knew he was probably working to try to
get on a deal.
Yeah.
Right. But he hadn't been like doing it. He, you know, well, his son kept tweeting, you know. Anyway,
we are
bottom line is,
the
right,
agenda
it's just
today.
It's just additional detail.
We're going to do a lightning round today because we've got a bunch of small things that we don't necessarily feel are worth 20 minutes on their own. Right. So that's a general plan. We're going to take a break and then we'll get into lightning round proper. First of all, though, Yvonne. Yeah,
I got some feedback from a listener.
Oh, you did? Let's start with that.
Richard from Columbus.
Okay.
Mentioned that he loves our podcast, but he never has enough time to listen to the show. It's so long.
Yeah.
Yes. He was like, guys, can't you
stick to an hour?
Cram it into less than an hour. That was his feedback.
You know, and we used to. And we just got longer and longer.
Did.
And then we...
And just our, dragged our, on and
our
on and on.
Our normal show talk. At this point is 2 hours. And every once in a while, we ask for feedback on that. And we get a bunch of people coming back and saying, actually, we like the long shows. But this is counter feedback saying we'd liked it short. And we've heard both. We've heard both. I have heard it's too long from a variety of people as well. But
maybe we can get our producer to make a supercut every time.
Yeah. If somebody out there wants to volunteer to listen to the full 2.5 hours we record and cut it down to the best hour for free, give us a call.
Yes, we'll take it. We'll bring you on to staff at our standard rate,
which is
0.00 right now.
I don't know. We could pass him a mug.
We could get, okay. Yes, we could. Well, we've gotten mugs, so standard rate. Yeah, that would include a mug and some swag. Exactly. That's about all we can offer, basically. Yeah.
So you get to have a mug with our faces on it if you help us out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
In any case, yeah. So I don't know, Yvonne. You want? We're also recording this after 5 UTC, so it's after midnight Yvonne's time. You want to try to keep this episode to an hour? Just see how
it goes. I did have an espresso. Here's the thing I did. I did have an espresso before I started this at like 10:30 at night because I knew I was going to do this. Uh-huh. So therefore, you know, I'm a little bit wired at the moment.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out how long
it takes. But we can try to keep. Okay. We can try to see how this works.
Okay. Well,
you know, let's see how fast we can do this.
We should like fast forward through this initial section and cut the bullshit and get right to the topic.
All right. Okay, so I got the feedback. Okay, that's out of there. Anything you got
to
mention?
The only other initial stuff I wanted to throw out there is we were going to do this earlier in the week, but we pushed it back. So, Yvonne, you're actually traveling again, but not job traveling. You're like at Disney with your family or something, right?
Yeah, I came over to, after Thanksgiving. I don't know. We'd said, well, why don't we go to, there's this Disney's Very Merry Mickey Christmas. I can't remember the name of the thing going on right now for the holidays, something like that. And so there's this thing that they do especially for the holidays. And we hadn't been to it before. So we decided to come on up here and try to do that because we hadn't done it any other year. So we're here for that.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go on Monday and fly to go try to find a P-Tate.
That's right. And I do want to mention that as well. Yvonne,
I'm flying straight from Orlando. Yes.
Yes. In any case, Yvonne is going to be out next week again. And so we will have substitute hosts next week already. And I do have a variety of volunteers. So it looks like we are going to have, unless one of them backs out, Ed, Daryl, Jen, and maybe Amy as well. So we may have up to 4 people.
Wow.
But, you know, or maybe some of those will have things come up and we'll end up with fewer people. Right. But right after this show, I'm going to start trying to confirm with all 4 of them that they're still available because they initially volunteered like almost 2 weeks ago now. So I'm going to just check in with all of them, see who can actually make it. But you can look forward to that next week, having an exciting show with a bunch of people who aren't Yvonne, you know, because Yvonne pisses everybody off and annoys you, right? So...
basically something along those lines.
Exactly. So a refreshing change of pace. Okay.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we are going to start lightning rounding it, and we will try to keep the show under an hour total. Or approximately an hour. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how we go.
Of course, after I say that, Alex attacks me and we'll probably do a 3-hour show.
Wait, what? 3-hour show.
Uh-huh.
Well, you said only an hour!
We'll be back right after this.
We'll be back right after this.
Okay, Alex, back downstairs.
No.
Dude.
We'll be back right after this!
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook! Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook and you actually, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes and it'll help us reach more new people too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too, or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So, if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
And we are back. Yvonne, do you want to go first or shall I?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Let me see. I'm going to try to go first. And I'm going to go with the new Fed chair, which is an old story that we never covered. So my whole thing about that was quite simple. Trump's only getting rid of Janet Yellen just because she was named by Obama. That's it.
Right.
Policy-wise, these guys are not very different.
So who's
he's just getting rid of her because she's a woman and she was named by Obama.
Who's the replacement?
I don't even remember the fucking guy's name anymore. I read his policy positions and whatever, whatnot, and they were very, very closely aligned in policy. So, I mean, yeah. So. My whole point was that I mean, it's just, he even made a joke about it this week in the turkey pardon. Something about, oh, well, I can't undo something Obama did this time.
He couldn't I can't undo the pardons from last year's turkeys.
Right, exactly. I mean, the man is just seems to be on a mission. Just whatever he's doing, it's just there is no point other than he just hates Obama. Is that it?
Jerome Powell.
Who gives a fuck? Whatever. Just nobody. I mean,
current Fed board governor, former private equity executive.
Yeah.
Trump's pick to replace Janet Yellen.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no, this it makes no change whatsoever in Fed policy. He just, you know, is picking somebody just to, out of spite. That's it. That's why we're getting a new Fed chairman.
Yeah. So you really see no effect whatsoever, blah, blah, blah.
No.
So, nothing. Because other places, I'll just pivot off this slightly. One of the things that has been, people have been pointing out every once in a while for forever, but never seems to get real traction, is that while is Trump's judicial picks, because even though he's only had the one Supreme Court pick, he's actually been appointing people to lower courts at a very quick pace, faster than Obama did, because there were all kinds of openings in the lower courts held open because the Republican Congress was slow rolling everything that Obama was doing.
Correct.
So there are all kinds of extra vacancies, and he's been filling them really fast, and the Senate has been confirming them pretty quickly. And so he's on pace to have a significant chunk of the federal judiciary be Trump picks by the end of his first term. You know, and of course they're all very conservative picks. You know, we nitpick a little bit about, you know, well, Donald Trump doesn't really have an ideology. He's just whichever the wind blows. He really only cares about one or two things, really.
Well, I mean, the people that are on his staff are very conservatives. And so therefore, they're picking very conservative picks.
Specifically on the judiciary, Trump has been like, you can pick whoever you want. I'm going to go the conservative down the line. He put out that list of potential Supreme Court justices that was all very conservative. And the same thing is applying for these judicial conservatives. The most that's really been said about we haven't really had a lot of press about, you know, the judges themselves, and here's their positions, and here's the big changes that that's going to be. The only ones that have really gotten press are the ones that are kind of crazy. Like, there was this blogger.
Right, crazy and incompetent.
Yeah, because there have been a couple that have been, you know, the Bar Association has been like, they aren't even remotely qualified. Like, the one that got a lot of press a couple weeks ago, he did have a law degree, but he's never tried a case. He did law for a little while, and then he became a blogger and was best known for incendiary comments defending the KKK and some other stuff on, like, blogs. You know,
right?
And no actual experience as a trial lawyer, let alone as a judge. You know, but he's sailing right through. Anyway, something to point out. Okay, I sort of derailed that one. Do you want to take another one, or shall I go?
Well, no, you pick something since you already went off the rails.
Well, yeah, I know, but I sort of picked the second topic of judicial things.
So that's how you're going to get off of this? Okay, fine. What about the Uber payoff for the data breach?
This news hit the other day, and I was just amused. I mean, so anyone who hasn't been following, bottom line is there was a data breach at Uber. Hackers got access to a whole bunch of stuff, both about customers and the drivers. And apparently the way Uber dealt with this was to pay the ransom. They paid them $100,000 to
delete
the data. I don't know how they confirmed that, if they confirmed that, whatever. $100,000 actually seems a little cheap for what they supposedly had. Uber paid $100,000 for them to delete the data. But then the thing is, apparently it's perfectly legal to pay the ransom to deal with these type of things.
The problem is you have to disclose it.
Disclose what happened. And they instead essentially covered it up for a year. Apparently the security folks at the company did not tell the legal folks at the company at all that this had even happened.
Right.
So the chief security officer resigned. And yeah, they've basically turned over a whole bunch of people on Uber's staff since then anyway, but I don't know. I saw the headline and I just started laughing.
It's just ridiculous. Yes. That's just, you know, absurd. I mean, that they get the data breach, they don't tell anybody and, you know, yeah, they just hit the payoff. Yeah.
And, just this whole thing, once again, Yvonne and I have said this too many times. The entire industry seems to have just decided that breaches like this are just a cost of doing business, and they're going to happen Correct. Periodically. And you pay a fine.
Let's not do anything that is security, and just let's just whatever. Let's just pay the fines, and we'll deal. That's it.
Maybe people to have like credit checks for a little while, whatever, you know, and then deal with it after the fact and say, oops, sorry, change your passwords, everybody. You know,
everybody, all your passwords. Yes, well, they stole them all. Every single one. Yeah.
You know, whereas nobody seems to just respond to this by saying, okay, you know what? We have to invest a crap load of money to solve this problem up front. You know, make it so that it's harder, you know, that people can't do this on a regular basis. And I know that's easier said than done because, you know, so often these attacks are social attacks, social engineering. Sometimes they're not. Like, I forget which one it was. Was it Equifax where you and I on the show were speculating, oh, it's of course it's going to be social engineering. It wasn't.
It was a bug. It was a bug in their web interface that wasn't patched. Okay, and then they managed to figure out that they were running the unpatched code and exploited.
Exactly. So, which is also very avoidable kind of stuff. Now, sometimes, you have to, they're critical systems and you have to be somewhat conservative rolling out patches and you have to do testing and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, at some point you have to suck it up and do that shit.
Yep.
I don't know. I know companies do spend lots of time and money upgrading systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that the processes do take some time. And so there are issues there. But I just continuously get the feeling that nobody's really taking this as seriously as they really should or spending the amounts of money that they probably really should, because it's all being paid. It's all being considered sort of,
cost of doing business.
It's being considered a cost of doing business. It's considering they're sort of doing the risk arbitrage and saying, this is risky, but you know, we understand the level of risk and we understand if this does happen and here's how we deal with it. So we don't have to go all out to prevent it to happen because we know we can deal with it if it happens. And so there you go. And I just think that in so many cases, you know, I understand sort of doing the cost benefit calculus and coming out with something like that. But at some point you have to say, you know, I think when you do that, the problem is they're only calculating the cost benefit to the company.
Company, not to the individuals that are going to get screwed because you stole their data.
Yes. Right. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah, because you got their data stolen. Right. By being, you know, cavalier with it. Yeah.
Okay, now it is my turn again. For real.
Oh, it is?
Okay. Yeah. And so I will finally, we saw a movie. It seems like it's months ago at this point, but we saw The Princess Bride, which was from 1987. It was out in the theaters again for, you know, a 2-day engagement or whatever. And we went and saw it. It's 87, is that 40 years? No, 30 years. Yeah,
30.
Look, I was a physics major, an arithmetic major. This is all too complicated.
I never watched The Princess Bride.
You've never seen The Princess Bride?
Nope.
Go rent that shit.
No, I have zero interest in watching The Princess Bride. There's been listen. Lately, I've had zero interest in watching just about nothing.
Anything. Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I mean, that's a movie or anything like that.
So here's
air disasters. Okay, all right. They had a cool one this week. Okay, but you know the thing is, but like movies, like for example, I haven't seen any of the new Star Wars movies. none of these new Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any of them. Hasn't bothered me one bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I will say that I did watch all the new Star Trek ones. Those I found interesting.
Oh, see now.
I will say
I watched like the first two new Star Trek movies, and then I didn't see the third one. And it hasn't bothered me that I haven't seen the third one. And I haven't.
Those watched are actually. The new Star Trek I will TV say this. Show. I watched all three. I watched all three. Those are actually pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. So to me, they were just sort of mediocre. They really like.
I really liked them. I gotta admit, I didn't think they were mediocre. I mean, compared to most of the other shit. The first two,
but I didn't see the third one. Right. But and I haven't watched the new TV show because there's no way in hell I'm gonna sign up for CBS All Access or whatever it is just to see the
Christ TV show. Forget that shit.
I may eventually watch that TV show, but I will watch it when I can buy it on iTunes and just buy the whole
thing. Maybe like when you're like 75 and you're retired, maybe you'll have time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm slowly working my way through all the Star Treks. I'm up to the early 70s right now.
So there you go. You see?
And yeah, I'm watching Star Trek the animated series right now. And I think I'm on season two of that.
You should add somewhere in there that Star Wars like Christmas special.
No, right, I'm already past that. I we talked about this on the show. I watched the Star Wars Christmas special. I'm working my way through Star Wars as well. We spent right, like 20 minutes on this damn show once talking about it.
Yeah, I forgot. Yes, you did watch that thing already.
Yeah, I'm past that. Wait, you have to hear this. On the Star Wars series, what I'm now working my way through is the Ewok cartoon from the 80s.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. Oh, Kevin forbid. No. I do have flashbacks of that Star Wars Christmas special.
Yes.
I thought I hadn't seen it. And then I was having flashbacks about it when people were talking about it. I realized, I'm like, holy shit, that was awful. I do recall having flashbacks as well of having flipped through some of those Ewok episodes too.
Yes.
But that's it. I flipped through them. I did not, you know, those did not like cling to me.
Yes.
I really apparently was not very interested.
So are you going to let me talk about the Princess Bride itself or not?
Oh, right. The Princess Bride. Sorry. Anyway. Yes.
So anyway, the Princess Bride is one of these cult favorites.
Which cult? What cult? Who is the cult?
The Branch
Who
Davidians.
Who are these people? I guess. Who are these people? I don't know these people. Or maybe I do.
I think you do.
Okay.
Oh, and speaking of cults. Oh, okay. I'm not going to get derailed right now. Okay, yes, I am.
Okay, yes. Derailment begins.
Do you know who Allison Mack is?
Who?
Allison Mack. She's an actress who was on the television show Smallville a number of years ago. So
no.
Smallville is... I recall
that there was a television show named Smallville.
It was Superman before he was Superman. So it was
I remember that.
So she played like a journalist type person who worked with Clark Kent. Okay, not Lana Lane or Lois Lane or any of those folks, but she
was somebody else,
a different character. Anyway, lately in the news. And this was in The Sun in the UK, and a number of other places picked it up. But here's the headline. Who is Allison Mack, and what's the NXIVM DOS slave cult that the former actress recruits for?
What?
So anyway, they've been... Here's another story from the Daily Mail. The headline here is, hold on. Former Smallville actress is second in command of sex cult under investigation for extorting, beating, and branding its members.
What the hell?
A former star of the hit series Smallville has been identified as a high-ranking member of a sex cult. Last month, the New York Times broke the story about a secret sorority that brands women, puts them on starvation diets, and beats them if they don't recruit enough slaves. The group, called DOS, is reportedly a secret society for the highest-ranking female members within the self-help group NXIVM. To outsiders, NXIVM is just a run-of-the-mill self-improvement group offering classes that teach the members to living a successful and fulfilling life. But ex-members told the Times that NXIVM functions as a cult for people at the high levels of the group who have dedicated themselves full-time to founder Keith Raniere.
They actually
Raniere
covered
and
this in the New York Brines, the New York Times.
On Wednesday, a former spokesman for the group told The Sun that an Emmy Award-winning actress is a key recruiter for DOS. While The Sun did not name the actress, DailyMail.com can reveal she is Allison Mack, who played Clark Kent's sidekick Chloe Sullivan on the long-running CW series Smallville, etc., etc., etc.
Okay, so over here, the New York Times article says, last March, five women gathered in a home near here to enter a secret sisterhood they were told was created to empower women. To gain admission, they were required to give their recruiter, or master, as she was called, naked photographs or other compromising material, and were warned that such collateral might be publicly released if the group's assistants were disclosed. The women in their 30s and 40s belong to the self-help group organization called NXIVM, which is based in Albany and has chapters across the country, Canada, and Mexico. Sarah Edmondson, one of the participants, said she had been told that she would get a small tattoo as part of the initiation, but she was not prepared what came next. Each woman was told to undress and lie on a massage table, while three others restrained her legs and shoulders. According to them, one of their master, a top NXIVM official named Lauren Salzman, instructed them to say, "Master, please brand me. It would be an honor." A female doctor proceeded to use a cauterizing device to sear a 2-inch square symbol below each woman's hip, a procedure that took 20 to 30 minutes. 4 hours, muffled screams, and the smell of burning tissue filled the room.
Anyway.
Okay, this is insane.
Anyway.
All right, then.
So I liked the TV show Smallville. I liked that show. I watched it. It was cool.
Yeah.
Allison Mack played a cool character on it. I enjoyed that too. And so these headlines were like, oh, well, I guess that's interesting. And
this is insane.
This seems, you know, we've been talking about all of these other sexual harassment cases. This is a little bit different, but also
this is quite different.
I think this seems. Well, it's a cult, so there's a question of like, were these women
right?
Was this consensual? I guess
it doesn't seem like it.
Well, but then, it seems like they were tricked. So,
yes.
Anyway, this seems clearly like somebody should be going to jail here.
Probably. Anyway, it seems like the Princess Bride. But anyway, back to the Princess Bride.
The whole thing with the Princess Bride is it's just funny. It's old. It's funny. It's a comedy.
It is a comedy.
Okay, it's a comedy, and it's got several famous lines that come out of it. You know, the most famous one, of course, being, "My name is Inigo," I can't even say it, "Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die," is one of them. And then another one is, "Inconceivable, I do not believe you know what that word means," something along those lines. Anyway, it's funny. It's got a number of funny scenes.
It was funny. Okay.
It's been many years since I've seen it. I saw it again, and like you know, I mentioned this when we were talking about Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan. All of these, like when you go see a classic movie that like where you sort of remember these key scenes, and you watch it again, it seems like it all goes by so much faster. It's like, oh, yeah.
Boom, yeah,
boom,
of course.
Boom, scene, done. You know, whereas like, you know, it feels like it should be more than that. But anyway, it was fun. If you haven't seen The Princess Bride, see The Princess Bride. It's a funny old movie. I mean, it's not like, you know, oh, my God, this is the best movie in the universe type of stuff. It's just it's cute. It's funny. It's got a bunch of folks you know from other things. Mandy Patinkin's in it. The woman who's the wife on House of Cards is the princess, the nominal princess in The Princess Bride.
Okay.
You know, and there are a few other folks that you would recognize. So fun movie. Anyway, enough about the Princess Bride and sex cults and whatever the hell else we were talking about. Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, next topic. Naked congressman.
We're just continuing on this line.
What the hell, anyways? We went through the, Bart. So apparently, you know, we're talking about. So this guy sent the dick pic, I guess.
Yeah,
this is what it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, basically, the thing is,
it was basically a dick.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that's important to note about this. This was fully consensual.
Consensual.
He was separated. Wife.
I don't understand.
He was separated from his wife. He was not yet divorced, but he was separated from his wife. He was seeing a variety of people, apparently. And with at least one of them, he shared some explicit pictures, but apparently fully consensual with her request. She was not offended in any way by this. She was a fully
willing participant. She was requested. This was not exposing himself to a staffer or something like
right,
that.
Right,
right.
They were having an affair.
As a matter of fact, apparently
it was an online affair first, and then they met a couple times in person, and
But here's the thing.
Yes.
I mean, the guy. There's nothing wrong he did.
No.
Okay. Apparently, he's a victim more of revenge porn than anything else.
Well, here's what I was going to get to next is because what happened is she broke up with him when she found out he was also seeing a variety of other women, and then she started talking to the other women, and apparently the way this picture got out is she started sharing it with the other women he was having an affair with, and then one of the others leaked it apparently. And so,
he's the victim of revenge porn.
The Washington Post put out another story saying how he had called her up and basically said, you know, if this picture comes out, I'm going to call the police on you. And she's like, well, what are you going to say? And he's like, I'm going to say that we had an affair. There were some pictures and now you're threatening to release it. And this was also, I saw all these articles hyperventilating about this, like, he'd done
which
something
I think
wrong.
Sounds straight up something, and I saw that too, and I didn't understand that. I mean,
because let's be clear,
the guy is a jerk. Okay, the congressman in terms of policies and whatever, I can't stand him. But I don't see how he misbehaved in any way, shape, or form about this at all. There is nothing he did wrong. Okay,
because like you said, it is revenge porn. He was saying, if you release these pictures, I will call the police on you, because guess what? Releasing those pictures, even sharing it with those other women, apparently is a crime under DC law and California law and a bunch of other states, which basically say, you know, if you have explicit pictures of someone else in your possession, even if they were shared willingly with you, you cannot distribute them further without that person's permission.
Right.
You know, so.
The guy did nothing wrong in this case. I just thought it was kind of,
nevertheless.
Interesting.
He put out statements saying he's sorry for everything he did. He used bad judgment.
I'm not sure what he's sorry. I don't know what the hell he's sorry. Yeah, but I don't understand why he's, what the hell he's sorry about. Well, I kept like wondering.
The only thing I can think there is just that it is still not socially acceptable in all circles to be participating. Like, first of all, he's a conservative Republican. Let's start there. So there's certain things that, you know, even liberals might have trouble getting away with. But as a conservative Republican, first of all, he was seeing these other women before his divorce was final, even though he was separated from his wife, and some people will be annoyed by that. Second, a lot of people will be annoyed by the fact that these pictures existed, period, end of story, even if it was consensual. Why the hell are you doing that? That's improper. That's bad judgment. That's whatever. Whereas, you know, my view of it is, it's 2017. Get the hell over it. You know, as long as it's consensual and adults are doing it, you know, whatever, you know,
right.
It's their choice to do whatever they want with that stuff. And if part of their relationship is exchanging pictures, so be it, you know, big deal. But a lot of his constituents probably don't feel that way. And even amongst...
That makes maybe who he's apologizing to. That he feels that his constituents did not find appropriate.
Frankly, among liberals, though, to be honest, you don't necessarily get that far saying, yeah, I did all this stuff, big fucking deal. There was somebody running for office in Minnesota or something who just in the last 2 weeks also put out a statement like this. They said, just for the record, in the last few years, I've probably been with about 50 women, and here's some
But let's be clear. His posting was crude and ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
I don't remember the guy's name, but it was. I started reading this post and I'm like, the only reason to be upset, like, no, he didn't do anything wrong, whatever. But the posting was
ridiculous. Be considered harassment of his exes because he was explicit in various ways.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the posting, I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right. My point was simply like, just coming straight out there and saying, yeah, I did all this stuff, so the fuck what, has a mixed record. Some politicians have been able to get away with it. Let's look at Donald Trump. Some have not. The details seem to... I guess to some degree, it's like, is there a hypocrisy element is important? But there are other factors as well. Yeah. Like there's a certain matter of like, even if someone's right up front about something, if people's reaction is, that's kind of slimy, well then, they're not going to run out well from that. Unless they're just known to be slimy and nobody gives a fuck. Like, or we've got this whole dynamic of, but we don't want a Democrat, which applied to both Donald Trump and Roy Moore.
Right.
So, I don't know. But yeah, Barton's case was amusing. I've had a number of people on my Facebook have looked up the pictures because they're apparently available online fairly easily. I have not. Well, I've seen a blurred out version. I've not seen an unblurred version. I don't want to see an unblurred version. But people have.
I've seen a blurred version, and I definitely would not want to see the unblurred version. I would say, as I said before, it almost applies the same thing as myself. Look, my apologies to this thing is, look, if my naked picture got out, I'd be apologizing to people who are subjected to seeing me naked. That's basically my apology. I'm sorry. I really, I'm sorry. I'm not an Adonis. I'm not this. This is not really a good look for me. I'm sorry. There's a good reason for me to have clothes on.
Okay. In any case, I've seen people commenting on it. And one of the more interesting ones was like, well, at least he has no body shame, so.
I mean, I'm not ashamed of it. I think it's better if people see me with clothes on.
Okay. Let's move on.
Yes.
Another old one. My turn this time. Oh, actually, let's take a break. We've been going half an hour on this one. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and we'll do another few minutes of lightning round. And we did say we're going to try to keep it to an hour. I don't even know.
Come on. Let's keep going. Let's go. Go.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No.
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening to, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. Web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, our Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun.
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth a buck a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
$100 billion, even though you don't have anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates, Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner, but I really do!
Okay, we are back, and it's my turn for something. And this is also a few weeks old, you know, because it's small and wasn't worth talking about, really. But there was that rogue Facebook guy who shut down real Donald Trump for 14 minutes or whatever it was.
Yay!
Because it was some Facebook employee on their last day, apparently. Do, do, do.
Da, 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 da.
This is Sam from the future here. Just, of course, I just said Facebook twice. It was Twitter, not Facebook. Back to the show. Do, do, do. And apparently it was scheduled to be their last day even before this event. Not he was fired because of this event. Although, technically speaking, from Facebook's statement, you couldn't really tell the difference. But apparently it was their last day, and they figured on their way out the door, they just shut down Donald Trump's Facebook account. And apparently it was just...
I mean, that's an interesting way of going out.
Yeah, and apparently it was just like some call center employee or something. It wasn't, or support or something. I don't know exactly what their role was, but it was a fairly low-level role. But they apparently had all the access that they needed in order to shut down an account. And there were no protections in place that says, okay, you can shut down little guys. But hey, if you're shutting down like someone with millions of followers, maybe you need somebody else looking at it or something. Apparently those protections didn't exist, so they just hit the button, picked up their stuff, walked out the door, and, you know, in the meantime, people start freaking out that Donald Trump is gone. And did he really discount? What happened?
Well, it was an epic way of walking out. It was only for 18 minutes until people got it back. I've heard some stories like of people doing epic, leavings on their last day. There was a guy I know that at a company that went and resigned by putting a post-it note on his computer monitor saying I quit. Uh-huh. And apparently surveillance video later showed that he went to the lobby of the office, dropped his pants, and took a dump on the lobby, and then proceeded to leave.
There's the vandalism of removing Donald Trump's account that's at least kind of amusing. The dump thing, that's just gross. Come on, please, people know.
I understand that, but, you know, let's just say that everybody remembered when this guy resigned, I'll tell you what.
I guess so. But, you know, and the Donald Trump thing, too, I mean, in the end, you know, it's a stunt. They brought it back. There wasn't any permanent damage, but there probably was, you know, a non-trivial cost for them to figure out what's going on, put it back in place, do all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't know. It was amusing, but I can't say I approve.
Oh, I don't approve of it, but I just thought it was amusing. I mean, that's all. But look, at the same time, it's not like this guy got cut somebody's off credit cards or something. I mean, Twitter is not, I'm sorry, I can't even say it's a, I know that we get information from it, but it's not like a medium of record for that. There's 90%+ of what's in there is total sheer nonsense and garbage. So, you know, it is. So the fact that his Twitter account got deleted, or anybody's Twitter account or my Twitter account got deleted, it's not like they froze my credit card or, I don't know, did something that really hurt me.
So I would be upset.
I mean, I understand I would be upset, but at the same time, it's one of those things. I'm upset, but I'm not damaged. If my Twitter account right now got completely obliterated and deleted, I lose nothing.
Yeah, but okay, fine. But you're a small scale user with
okay, you know, only a few hundred followers. Okay, no, no, okay, fine. But if you're Donald Trump,
no. Let's
and
say
every all the content and let's listen. If all the content in Donald Trump's Twitter account got completely deleted,
yes,
would he be damaged permanently?
There would be a if all the content was gone permanently. Now, of course, people are creating backups of that account regardless.
But, that's what I'm saying. But there are backups of it all over the place.
But so. if that was done and his follower list was zeroed, then yeah, that's.
But even if his follower list was zero, it's more an inconvenience. Once people found out, oh, it was a mistake, whatever, what would they do? They'd just go back in and follow him again anyway. It's more annoyance, is what I'm saying, than really damaging, is what I feel about
it. Well, there's certainly a difference between deleting his Twitter account and burning down the White House. But at the same time...
Okay, now we are not advocating in time, to be clear, for comparison purposes, for anybody to go and burn the White House so we can see the different effects.
No, we are not.
The British did that already, and that was a long time ago. Okay,
they're clearly anyways. Different scales, different kinds of events happening. I just think that it is not zero, and I know it annoyance.
It's not but, zero, but it's not, it might as well be his MySpace account, really. You know, because it's about as informative as a MySpace account. His Twitter feed.
Okay, if you say so. Okay, your turn, Yvonne.
If I say so, what? Tell me what of substance. Should I go into his? Okay, so you think that there is substance in his Twitter account? Is this what you're telling me? Okay, let me see what the last tweets are that real Donald Trump sent over here, and what nuggets of information are we losing?
The latest thing is his thing about Time Magazine.
To say, yeah. Well, okay. Time Magazine called say that I was probably going to be named Man Person of the Year, like last year, but I would have to agree to an interview at a major photo shoot. I said, it's probably no good. Took a pass. Thanks anyway. Let's see. We'll be calling President of Egypt in a short while to discuss the tragic terrorist attack. With so much loss of life, we have to be tougher, all caps, and smarter than ever before, and we will need the wall, capital letters, need the band, capital letters. God bless the people of Egypt.
As long as they stay the fuck over there and don't come here.
Exactly, apparently. They're a band, and they're behind a wall. This is the most ridiculous.
I don't
horrible
think Egypt
and
was
cowardly
in
terrorist.
The band, actually.
Okay, let me see. After Turkey, I will be heading over to Trump National Golf Club Jupiter to play golf quickly with Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson. Then back to Mar-a-Lago for talks on bringing even more jobs and companies back to the USA.
Okay, yeah, look, you're not going to get me to argue that this is...
What are we losing here again?
I'm saying Donald Trump would be losing something. Not everybody else would probably be better off.
You know what? But actually, you know what? The worst thing is that he wouldn't.
No, I know.
He would be better off without it. The election. Exactly. Even he would be better off without it.
Yeah, he's his own worst enemy with this kind of stuff. Because this stuff has been held against him in court. It's going to be held against him in court in the future.
In court again. Yes, many times. So he's his own worst enemy with it. His popularity goes down every time that he tweets this stupid shit. It's not full. It doesn't contain any information. I don't see who the hell wins with this thing.
Twitter.
And the only people. That's it.
Okay. It's your turn, Yvonne. Moving on.
That's my turn. Hang on. I had something juicy over here. Hold on. Wait. Where the hell? So what are your iPhone X impressions?
Oh, so my wife and my daughter both received their iPhone 10s. I do not have one myself. It's not my year, My year to replace my phone will be next year. So I'll get the iPhone XS Plus Q or whatever the hell they come up with next year, right? Uh-huh. Anyway. My initial impression is that even though... So the way it's presented is that even though it's physically smaller than the plus-size version... The screen is larger because they get rid of all the stuff around it, right? There's no bezel, correct, essentially, and it goes end-to-end.
And I grabbed it in person at the Apple store and saw that that was my impression as well.
But my impression when holding it is, oh my God, it's narrow. Because the way they do that is they're measuring the diagonal. And so there's two cheats there. One, it's narrower but taller. So the area is greater, but it is narrower. So, like, when I'm used to the plus-size phone, every time I've held my wife's phone so far, and admittedly, this is, like, me picking it up occasionally to play with it, not using it on a regular basis, but my impression is that it feels cramped compared to the plus-size phone. Now, of course, compared to a regular size, non-plus-size phone, it's going to be larger even on the width. But compared to the plus size phone, I felt cramped because it's narrower horizontally. It is taller, but I don't feel like I need the height as much as I need the width. It's also a weird dimension because the regular phone and the plus are 16x9, just like a phone. This is stretched a little bit more than that. And part of what they're counting in the diagonal are those two little tabs at the top that are only useful for that status information, not for, like, your normal stuff, per se, although some of it stretches into that.
But before, most of the time when you were going into any page, as I'm looking at something right now, you used up that space anyway with the clock, with the thing, or whatever. It's not like you were into that space anyway showing anything.
Well, except when you watch a video or something.
When you went to the full screen.
But
right.
Like, yeah, but, that's it. And also because of the notch, they're missing. So, like, my initial impression is I hope by the time they get to next year, they make a full-size version of the 10. Because it seems more cramped to me than what I'm used to on the plus size, even though the diagonal size and the screen area may actually be a little bit larger, but the shape of it makes me feel more cramped. But again, this is something that is only my impression, having played with it for a few seconds here, a few seconds there. It's the kind of thing I imagine I would probably get used to fairly quickly actually using the damn thing. But that was my initial impression of it, to be honest, was, oh, it feels small. I didn't expect it to feel
small.
Well,
I will tell you what I grabbed.
That's coming
it
from
for a little bit before
that's coming
I
from plus. Right. You're coming from the small phone, so
yeah. But regardless of that, the one thing the size, it wasn't the size that really I couldn't care less about that. That's not the first thing that jumped out at me. What jumped out at me was the quality of the image on the display.
Hmm.
Okay. Which is just overwhelmingly so much better than what I've seen on other screens. The depth, the color depth, just the actual resolution, the quality of the images on it was just mind blowing. That's actually, I will say that I hadn't walked in really, like, I was thinking about getting it, but what totally convinced me when I grabbed the phone and, like, saw the image quality on the display, I was like, oh, shit, I gotta get this.
Yeah,
this just looks too good.
Yeah. See, now, like, again, my main impression was only about this feels cramped. Like, I'm sure, you know, compared to my 6S Plus, it's probably a bit better, but that wasn't what popped at me. What popped at me was the size. But again, that's coming
The thing is that my wife has a 6S, and I've grabbed her phone
a lot. Well, it's still bigger than a 6S. It's just smaller than
the Plus. Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying, no. But what I'm saying is that the image quality on her phone is not that much different than the one on my SE.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Okay. They're very similar in that. So it's just, I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's just bigger. But on this, I mean, the image quality itself, when I grabbed it, I was like, damn. I'm like, this is, noticeably different to me. Now, I mean, significantly noticeably
now,
different.
Now, to be clear, nothing I'm saying, if I was due for an upgrade right now, I would get the 10 as well. I would not go for the 8 Plus or the 8S Plus or whatever the hell.
Saying, that was just your impression of what you got.
That was my impression.
No, which I understand. But that's what I'm saying. I haven't played with it that much either.
It is a negative initial impression, to be honest. But there are enough other things I know about it, like it's a lot faster than what I have a couple generations behind, you know? Like, because, you know, I have the 6S Plus. There's the 7 and the 8 between that and the 10, you know?
Right.
So all in all, if I was upgrading right now, I would still get a 10, not an 8, not an 8 plus. But the fact that it's narrower is a negative for me. I picked it up and was like, ah, oh, this feels cramped. But and I think my wife likes it. My daughter is just setting hers up now. So I'll get her impressions in a couple days or whatever. But it's probably done right by now, but she needs to use it for a while to have real impressions about it. Anyway, but right. my wife likes it. So there you
cool.
go.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, right. my turn. Yep. And I will keep on this tech role for a little bit. Yvonne, in an offhanded comment a while back, you mentioned that you had done what I had done a while ago and replaced your Wi-Fi setup with Plume. What do you think of it?
Oh, I did. Okay, so, all right. So, it's outstanding. I will say that if I've actually been so pleased with it. I had, before I even bought it, because I had a setup at home that sort of worked, I had gotten it, my brother to buy it for his place. Because I've been there a few times at his place, and his Wi-Fi, yes, at my brother's place in Texas, and his Wi-Fi just sucked. And I told him when I went in December, this is ridiculous. Your Wi-Fi here might as well be might be 56K modem. This is ridiculous. So I told him about the Plume because he told me about it. I said, well, I haven't bought it just because I spent money on this other crap, and I just didn't want to, like, you know, like, ditch it, like, right now. So he bought it, and I went to his place in Texas, and it worked very well. I was like, this is really good. So I don't know. I was sitting the other day in our dining room table. Okay. Which should not be a problem where the hell there's a freaking Wi-Fi signal. But lo and behold, another day again where I'm sitting there with my laptop and I'm getting no signal. And I just got fed up. I said, the hell with this. Fine. I'm buying this stupid Plume. I can't take it anymore. I'm not resetting this fucking Wi-Fi again or to get another signal here. I'm done. Okay. So I got it. I set it up. It took me no time at all.
Right.
Okay. I got 6 pods. Okay. All right. I set them up. And it was just worked right away. Now, I will say this. One of the pods died.
Oh,
I had okay. to get a. I had to get a warranty replacement on one of them. I called them up. We did this a few tests. It didn't work. A couple of days in the mail, I got a new pod and I shipped the old one back and I put it back in. But other than that, pod that died. But their customer service was pretty quick. Called them up. We did a couple of tests. We couldn't get it to work, and they were like, "No, we'll just ship you out another one and put the other one in the box and ship it back to us." And that was it. Oh my God, it's night and day. Now, there is a big difference between the performance that you're getting versus what I'm getting.
Okay.
And there is a reason for that. You mentioned that you were able to get basically the full performance of your of what you have in your connection in any of the rooms.
Yeah, but like my connection to the outside internet was pretty much full speed. Everywhere I tested it. Now, I will say, however, that when I was telling you that, the place I did the most speed tests was actually the closest to where my internet comes into the house. I had tested it elsewhere in the house a couple times and gotten not much degradation, but I wasn't very systematic about making sure I went to the place that was the most hops away, a bunch of tests there.
I will say that my experience is that where it's at the base, yeah, I get the full speed. But in the other rooms, I get nowhere near that. Okay. I do get a consistent speed, a reliable connection, but the degradation is substantial.
Okay.
That I get out there. But
so what was your reason you believe that that's true?
The main reason I know is a fact. It's the reason why my other system has a problem. There is a very large brick wall that divides my condo. And that is the part where the signal has problems with. Okay. My condo is in the speed on the one side of the wall is like 2 to 3 times faster. I mean, even just forget about being in the same room. If you're outside of that room, say in the living room, there is signal degradation, but it's like it's 3 times faster than in the other rooms.
Can you fix that by sticking a plume like right in the door in between those two that's not blocked by the wall?
I actually have a plume right before the door and right afterwards.
Okay.
And that has not done it. I have thought of ordering additional pods, like 3 or 4 more of them to see if that will improve the speed. But yet, look, the truth is
like the main thing is you have to get it a path from one side of that wall to the other that doesn't go through the wall.
And I know, and I thought I did that. Okay, that's why. But still. But you got to remember, I live in a condo, and the level of interference because of where I live in a condo is so much higher than in a house.
Right.
That also definitely has an impact. OK, so that's also an issue. But regardless of that, the quality of the Wi-Fi and the speed that we're getting in all the rooms is really, really good. I would highly recommend this product to anybody. The ease of setup, the speed, the reliability of connection right now is just, I mean, mind-blowingly better than what I had before.
Yeah.
So I would wholeheartedly recommend the product.
I remember from my point of view, like, I would get at least a couple of times a week somebody in my family complaining about the Wi-Fi not working wherever they were in the house, asking me to reset the Wi-Fi, asking me to mess with stuff.
Same thing with me.
Or in some cases, just saying, screw it, I'm going to use the LTE on my phone because the Wi-Fi is just unreliable. And I have not heard those complaints since we
said this. Exactly. Same thing with me. That has not happened ever again. I have not had my son try to pound his iPad in frustration because it's not working.
Right.
No. Yep. So.
Okay. Your turn, Yvonne. Enough about Plume. We endorse Plume. Plume has not paid us. Plume, if you
Plume
want
has
to
not
play
played
us
anything.
If you
pay
want
us,
to pay
we'll
us,
take,
we
will we'll send me 5 free pods.
There you, there go. You go.
That would be my payout.
Of course, my son insists it's Plum, not Plume.
It's a plum? Okay, plum. Well, that's good. I heard plums are good for your health.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, Yvonne, next topic.
Okay, let's see. Oh, man. We talked about Barton. Talked about... I had something over here that was okay. So let's talk about the thing I mentioned at the beginning. So Flynn, the Flynn thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Flynn.
All right.
So the new news is Flynn's lawyers have told Trump's lawyers they're not going to share information anymore, which is an indication that there's now a conflict of interest between the two, which. There are many possible explanations, but one possible explanation is that Flynn is now officially working with Mueller against Trump.
The most likely explanation is that they can't be exactly right. That is the most likely explanation in these kinds of situations.
And you know, this is sort of the new piece of evidence here. But, you know, there were stories in the news about Flynn trying to make a deal months and months and months and months ago, but it had gotten quiet. So the question was, because the news back then was that Mueller and Congress and everybody else.
Well, he probably wasn't offering anything.
It was with Congress at first, where Fred was trying to make a deal, and then later with Mueller. But apparently, you know, he'd been turned away at that point. But at a certain point, it's the only path that makes sense if they've got
the rights. Right, but I guess the thing is, right, when you're trying to make a deal and they're not taking your deal, what do you have to do from your end?
Offer more.
Bingo. Exactly right. So that's what I'm guessing.
So what do we think come down to?
Beats the shit out of me. But look, I mean, come on. There's got to be, you know, they're...
Now, do we think there's actual cooperation ongoing, or do we think Flynn's just still trying to make a deal, and this is a step in that direction?
I think that the implication by most of them is that he is at the deal stage, and that's why they had to, you know, they moved away from the fact that they weren't even, you know, offering a deal to the fact that it's a possible one. So therefore, since they're talking a deal, then they gotta cut it off. So. That's what I think.
Hmm. Yeah, you may be right. I mean, it makes sense for Flynn to try to make a deal. It makes sense that he might know some stuff. But
I noticed that his son has stopped tweeting idiotic stuff.
Oh, has he?
It seems like it.
I don't know. So. I mean, these guys... I trust Mueller knows what he's doing and is going through this stuff systematically.
Oh, it's just, Mueller really knows. I mean, you know, Mueller knows what the hell he's doing. There's one thing that I've been able to tell by how he's handling this is that he really knows what the hell he's doing. So I gotta just like, you know what? You gotta let him roll, get his job done. You know, see what the hell he finds. You know.
Yeah, and look, and as usual. If you go to certain corners of Twitter, there are certain people like saying all kinds of things that they think they know. And I'm not just talking to Louise Mensch, who we've, you know, slammed on this show before. But there's a whole bunch of accounts that just make, you know, say a bunch of stuff and seem to be way ahead of the mainstream news in what they're reporting on and what they're saying and the conclusions they're bringing. And it's just some of that stuff may be true. So, I mean, a lot of what they report is actual, like, if you click on the link, you go to a report in usually the European press that's out a little bit ahead of where the American press is. And so the individual facts are like, okay, that seems to be true. That seems to be true. That seems to be true. But the way they're putting the dots together is very tentative. And for those of us who have a very anti-Trump sort of mindset to start with, it's very easy to be like, oh, of course all that makes sense, of course that's true, blah blah blah.
Well, that's why I avoid like really like believing these folks. I mean, it sounds so juicy and whatever, but every time I read it I'm just like, but there's no facts to back this. It just
it's
isn't
speculation. I mean, it's speculation. It's
yes,
it's taking yes. a bunch of things and drawing the dotted lines in between the things in the worst possible way for the participants. Like, and maybe that's correct, but there are other ways to connect those dots that lead to something that's not quite as bad. Now, there's enough dots there that things do look pretty bad regardless of how you connect them, but there are ways that you can do it that look like, you know, hey, these are people intentionally engaging in treason and blah, 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 blah. And there are ways that you can connect the dots that are just, these are a bunch of incompetent idiot morons who were used. And frankly, the more this goes on, the more I lean towards the latter that, you know, that yes, there's definitely a lot of really weird stuff here. But these guys are too stupid to actually be, you know, huge masterminds doing whatever. They're just...
No, there seem to be a bunch of morons. Look, you look at all the contacts with WikiLeaks that now we have uncovered. Yeah. You look at all the meetings with the Russians. You look at all the stuff they put down on email. You look at the trips to Russia. All those people involved. All the previous denials. We have no contact with Russia. None of this. So much stuff that has shown up that is not just, you know, now that we have confirmation, but it shows that they were brazen and stupid about it too. Okay, that it's just, you know, I just keep feeling like they're gonna find, especially you've got the I mean, my God, Donald Trump Jr. has to, I mean, did they lobotomize that poor kid? They go and they talk about on Twitter how he talked to Assange, and then he goes and he vomits all the freaking like DMs on the internet. What is he, an idiot? I mean, what is he? I mean, what kind of an idiot is he? I mean, is he an idiot savant? What is this?
I don't think he's an idiot savant.
So you think he's just an idiot idiot?
I think he's an idiot idiot.
Oh, okay, good. That's what I thought too.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I mean, the level of stupidity that Donald Trump Jr. has exhibited. I mean, like showing that email. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were talking the email communications back and forth with these bozos.
It's not just
then him, the DMs.
It's all of them. I mean, the more,
all of them.
You know, with the possible exception of Manafort. Like, I think he knew exactly what the fuck he was doing.
Oh, yeah, Flynn.
Flynn might have known exactly what the fuck he was doing. But
the rest of them are just idiots.
The Trump family. Idiots. Are morons. Yes. The
Kushner, yes. Trump Jr. I mean, all of these people, it's just, oh my God. I mean, it's just, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just unfucking believable.
Back in the day, back during the campaign, you know, I was looking at some of this stuff and, like, you know, Scott Adams talking about master manipulator and all this kind of stuff. And yes.
This is fucking horse. And I kept saying it's a bunch of fucking horse shit.
Some of what Donald Trump does, by his natural instinct, is manipulative and divides people and pushes people's buttons in a certain direction. But I believe that sort of natural instinct, it's not a thought out plan. It's just a side effect.
Exactly.
It's a side effect of the way
he
does things.
Exactly.
And I think that when you, and so back then it was like, okay, maybe it's plausible that there's this huge master plan and Donald Trump and Putin.
I think the master plan was simple.
Yes.
Dude, the master plan was simple. They make thought money. They were going to lose.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
True.
They're going to make money losing.
Yes.
That was the master plan.
This is like, what was that stupid? The Producers. The play,
I never watched
the play
that.
And movie. I mean, that was their.
Oh, yeah. I kind of remember the plot. Yeah.
I've never seen it either. But the basic plot was, hey, we're going to make a Broadway play so bad we're going to lose all this money, but we'll be able to collect on the insurance because we'll take out some insurance against, you know, it going badly. And they decided they would make a musical about Hitler. As this will surely lose. And then it was a massive
hit.
And
then it became... Exactly. This is right on the T what the hell the Producers was. Exactly right.
But yeah, a couple of them knew what the hell they were doing. And like Flynn and Manafort...
But 90% of them were just... morons.
But,
like
but,
Carter Page and who's the other one? I can't even pronounce that asshole's name. Papadopoulos and all of these morons.
But you know,
Papadopoulos goes and says, how do you know he doesn't know at what he's doing? He sits down with the FBI and just starts blabbering like a moron without a lawyer.
Well that was Page.
Papadopoulos did that at first too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, that's how this whole thing got started.
But then you do see this history, though, of, you know, that looks increasingly like the more you see of it, that Russian intelligence has actually been trying to cultivate the Trump family for decades. But the reason they've been trying to do this is because they recognize how stupid they are.
Correct. Yes, correct. Totally. 100%.
It's not some two-way
plan. It's not because they think they're genius. Exactly. No.
It's not they just know they're idiots. Being in control of the situation in any way.
They just know they were easily manipulated. They were gullible, manipulate. You know, you could manipulate them with flattery and
money.
They were just so fucking gullible and money that they were you could just turn them into whatever the hell you wanted. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's where we are.
Yep.
Should we do one more each, or should we start cutting it off in the hopes of sticking with that near
one
enough?
More each? Well, let's see. One more each.
Well, you were Flynn. Should I pick the next one?
Yes, go.
Okay. Okay. Keeping with administration stuff for a little bit. What's this with blocking the AT&T Time Warner merger?
Ah, well, here's the thing about this, right?
There are probably good reasons to block it anyway, right? It's just there a question are probably of what their good, reasons are.
This is the same problem that Trump gets into with everything and his Twitter and his mouth. Okay? There probably are legitimate legal and business reasons why to block this merger. The problem is that in any situations like this, if those reasons are being clouded by the fact that this is being done arbitrarily just because Trump hates CNN, then you've got a problem. That's the problem here.
We have tweets basically saying someone should look into CNN's license or whatever. Or was he talking about NBC at the time? He was talking about NBC at the time.
But. Whichever. But the fact that he has had the media in his crosshairs, the fact that he's made statements like that then makes whenever something like this happens questions the motive that you wind up questioning the motives.
Right. I mean, and again, there might well be good reasons you would want to avoid this particular merger, because just in general, media consolidation is potentially a problem. Having less companies in charge of the media voices that America hears is a problem, potentially. There's another regulation that the Trump administration is getting rid of about how many stations within a single market a single company can own, and whether you can own newspapers and television stations at the same time, and blah, blah, blah. So those regulations are going away, too. So a lot of people are concerned about, we already have most Americans' media consumption, when you boil it down, comes from two or three companies, right?
Right.
So you're not really seeing a wide variety of stuff there. Even if you're seeing five channels, they're all owned by the same freaking people, you know? And having AT&T and Time Warner come together sort of, it could increase that sort of problem. So maybe you have concerns along those lines, but with everything that Trump has been saying, and apparently they were saying, look, you can do this, but only if you sell CNN and stuff like that.
Right.
Does that make sense in any way other than we're just mad at CNN?
No, nothing. No reason whatsoever, because AT&T doesn't own like MSNBC or any of these others. They don't own any other broadcaster of news. So there is no valid, like, if you're talking about antitrust reasons, that is not a valid reason. Not remotely close.
They had some other stuff they wanted to sell too. It wasn't just CNN, right? Some other Turner Broadcasting stuff.
I can't remember the rest, but the one that came up, like you mentioned, that has been said. Well, CNN, and there it wasn't the press, and the people at AT&T said that they were told that. Okay, and the fact that there is no valid antitrust or any reason that I can think of, that is probably the one with the least problems in terms of being sold. I mean, DirecTV, AT&T don't own a property like that at all. So, I mean, if they were just going, let me go buy CNN, they would probably face very little scrutiny for just buying that channel. So it makes no sense for them to have to shed it.
So anyway, AT&T and Time Warner have said they're going to fight this. Is this just going to linger in court for years, or is something going to happen on this? And if so, what?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Because the thing is that I'm really, the question in terms of trust here, you know, AT&T does not own any content. They have distribution pipes, but no content at all. I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I know that you're talking about corporate concentration, but in terms of concentration of like media in one company, this purchase doesn't like – it's not like all of a sudden like –
it doesn't actually increase it because they didn't have any to start with. It's not
exactly.
It's not merging two companies that both have large amounts of content.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the thing. It's not NBC – you know, Comcast with NBC Universal acquiring this. I mean, if people had no problem with Comcast buying NBC Universal, then I don't see any valid reason really from that point of view to object to this. Okay. You know, so that's what I see with this. I just, you know, you may not like these companies getting bigger, but I'm failing to see a good legal reason that there would, to oppose the merger, other than Donald Trump hates them.
Okay. Last topic for this show. We may not have made it under an hour, but we're keeping it relatively short. Last topic for this show, Yvonne. Where are you going to go with it?
Oh, Trump's Thanksgiving message, in which apparently he announced that the Coast Guard brand, brand. Okay. I didn't know the Coast Guard was a. I didn't know it was a brand.
Everything's
Did they have
a
stores?
Brand. Everything's. A
Do
brand
they have stores? Well. Do the Coast Guard have stores? I mean, I haven't seen a Coast Guard store. I thought, you know, it's like Abercrombie Fitch, I guess, or something like that. So the Coast Guard brand, I didn't know the Coast Guard had a branding problem. Okay, but apparently the brand improved. And apparently the F-35 is invisible.
Like Wonder Woman.
According to a statement he made today. Yes. Yep. He said that apparently the F-35, and lo and behold, we didn't know. It's invisible.
Is it at least?
I take it you didn't know that.
I believe it is, right?
He said it's invisible.
I know
it's not a stealth plane. It has some stealth features, but it's not one of those that is a stealth plane. No, not really.
Okay.
Well, it has a low radar signature, yes, but it's not.
Donald Trump is stupid. You got to take into account that's what he meant.
I'm sorry. Okay. That's what he meant?
That's what he meant. Somebody told him.
Okay. My point is that this is all rambling and nonsense. Why is he even talking about it anyway?
Well, especially because he's at the Coast Guard. It's not the Coast Guard's plane.
Right. Right. It's got nothing to do with this. I mean, my thing is, this just shows why it's just impossible to work with this guy. I mean, you know, if I'm going in front of somebody and I'm going to be making a presentation, let me tell you something. I go into meetings. I've gone into meetings many times where I am not really that familiar with what the fuck is going on. I haven't studied to death, but I will go in the car. I will get a briefing. Dude, what's the deal here? Tell me the relevant bullet points about this shit. Okay, you know, and I will get a download of what the fuck I'm supposed to be talking points I'm supposed to be talking about before I get there. I probably make some notes. I got something or whatever. Beautiful. I go in there and that's what I stick to those talking points, because if I don't know the topic in depth, and most of the times I do, but sometimes you got to walk into situations that you don't, then you stick to that shit so you don't look like a moron. This guy, I mean, can you imagine like one of his senior advisors, that this guy just walking out there just saying all of this shit? You want to just fucking kill yourself.
Well, here's the thing, because it's like it's like you give him the five bullet points, but.
And then he just fucking throws them in the garbage.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's like he'll take the third bullet and reverse it and then start talking about it, but only half right. And interpreting it in a way that's just like, you can see the seed of truth in it. Like the plane is invisible, right?
Right. The plane's like, right. Yeah. Yeah.
He probably had a bullet point about how it had some stealth features.
And then, yeah, right. And then it turned into, and that completely just turned into invisible.
Right. And so you get like, you know,
so basically what you're saying is that his people need to dumb down these bullet points even further.
Well, yeah,
Right. Don't even give him this much to talk about.
Well, we've read stories about how they're really trying to dumb it down a lot, but they can't reach as dumb as he is.
Look, I'm seeing this video where they have him. Okay, where apparently he was supposed to be doing a video call with the troops, and he actually has text in front of him that apparently he's supposed to be using to go on the call. But you can see that as he's doing the video call with the troops, that he is completely ignoring the shit that they put in front of him. He is not remotely paying attention. He's just rambling and just saying random nonsense. Okay, even though they put in front of him here's what you're supposed to be talking about. Okay, like he said well, the words big fat beautiful tax cuts, big fat beautiful. And then he said something about that I'll say you're fired, you know, something, you know. I mean, it's just
stream of consciousness rambling. And you have to be really careful, too. I mean, there was another article that went into a lot of details. If you remember the incident months back when Donald Trump met the Russian ambassador in the Oval Office.
Oh, God, yes.
And, you know, ended up revealing secrets about a super top secret Israeli spy mission that gave us information about potential laptop bombs or whatnot. There was a big article in, I think it was Vanity Fair. Was it Vanity Fair? Yeah. It was Vanity Fair called What Trump Really Told Kislyak After Comey Was Canned by Howard Bloom, published November 22nd. A really long article about that whole thing. But some of the reports right after the fact were sort of like, you know, he'd had a briefing on this intelligence from the Israelis, and they probably told him, you know, hey, this is super secret, whatever, sensitive sources.
And he just went and blurted it out to the Russians.
Yeah, and the speculation is like he just wanted to show, hey, I've got good intelligence too. Blah blah blah. Can you believe what I know? Here you go.
And the thing is that apparently there, as Trump is talking, like Kislyak and the other guy just completely went that silent. They're like. Fuck, is he really telling us all of this? Shit, thank you. Oh, man. You know, I mean, you know, Kislyak and Lavrov are pretty smart guys. They these guys have to be laughing at this guy. Like, it's such, I'm sorry, these guys have to go back with Putin and all these guys, and they just gotta be knocking them down, having drinks, and just freaking like just laughing their ass off.
I think we have a theme and a title for the show, and that's No End to the Stupid.
Oh yeah,
that's over and over on the show. We've talked about this as it's just when you look at these guys, it's like I can't believe you're doing this shit. And on the one hand, you almost want to think that they are some sort of mastermind with some sort of secret plot and they know what they're doing and they're being smart about it. And even if they're evil, at least there's something there. But the more you see about it, it's like, no, they're just idiots.
No, they're not. They're just idiots. You know, that's been my experience most of the time with you know, when the plots seem very convoluted like that. When these people and people start saying, are they really that smart? Are they really strategizing it? You realize deep down that most people are really idiots. And so therefore they act that way. So there is no, they have to have some plan behind there and some strategy.
This is not 18% of time. Chess.
No, no, none of that shit. Not one whiff.
Okay. I think we are at the end of the show. So I'll start out by saying, of course, thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Tell us what you think about Tell us what you think about long versus short, whether we should try to keep it short more often or whether you like the longer shows. We are looking for that feedback.
I vote shorter.
My son votes shorter.
Yeah, shocker.
In any case, one place to give us that feedback, facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner. Join us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, comment on the shows, let us know your thoughts, all of that sort of thing, and share the episodes with your friends. Let other people know that they should listen to the show, too, if you like it. If you don't like it, you don't have to tell everybody how much you hate us. And then,
yes, we would appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you really do like us, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. For a couple bucks a month, you can join our Slack where we talk about things in between shows and plan out what we're going to have. In this case, we've had a bunch of discussions on the Slack that did not come into this episode today. So, for instance, we have talked more about all these sexual harassment scandals. We had Charlie Rose. We had more about Franken. We had, you know, Glenn.
If you want me to call you an idiot, get on the Slack.
And I was going to say, we had a rollicking discussion about whether or not parents should force their kids to hug their relatives if they don't want to. Like when grandma comes to visit and the kid doesn't really want to give her a hug. Do you make them do it anyway? Yvonne says, yes, make the damn kid do it. A bunch of us said, no, don't. That's wrong. And everybody called everybody else idiots and it got a little heated. And so, you know, if you want to join in on those,
if that's your kind of cup of tea, yes, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Join us on our Slack, and for higher amounts, you can get those Curmudgeon's Corner mugs we were talking about earlier and other nice swag. So anyway, that's it. Oh, join us. We're on Twitter too. I'm at @AbelSmay. Yvonne's at @IMBOU, and you can talk to us there. And that's it. We're gonna have a great, exciting week, I'm sure. And as Yvonne mentioned at the beginning of the show, next week he's in Moscow, so we'll have some of our guest hosts filling in with me. And the week after that, I guess
we'll have a report from me from back from Moscow.
Yep.
See how productive I can be there.
Exactly.
If I can produce the evidence, I will bring it with
me. Yvonne's coming back with evidence. It's going to blow this whole thing open.
That would be something, now, wouldn't it?
Or more likely, he's just going to be cold.
Apparently, the weather forecast right now that I just got is that the high is going to be in the 20s with the lows in the teens and snow.
There you go. Enjoy Moscow, Yvonne. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. All right. We'll talk. Everybody else have a great week, too. And join us again next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.